This is CliffCentral.com.
Property, I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rent it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
Hey, everybody. How are you on this Thursday? I cannot believe that tomorrow will be December. We have been looking for you, looking forward to you, December. And we're so, like, I don't know. I think I was just talking with my guest today how I'm so, we're all just ready to.
Yeah.
And ready to just relax more and let the ready. Air end, right? Yeah. Yeah. We will be having a couple of shows before we close. Remember, you can download Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, on cliffcentral.com. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, Living It Up. Just tell us, comment, tell us what you think of each show. Last week we had Ms. Thokozani Khumalo from the, I need to say it properly, it's the EAAB, the Estate Agents Affairs Board, right?
Yeah.
We had her here and she had some fantastic feedback for us, as well as just tips and advice. And I thought, as a follow-up to that, it would be very nice to chat to somebody who works with the EAAB. And I happen to know this lady, so it was quite easy to bring her on here. Welcome, Zoe. How are you?
Thank you so much, Lerato.
I'm excited to have you here.
I'm very excited to see you too.
So, hey. I must say it properly. Zoe is married. Zoe is Zoe Chiriseri Ramushu.
Yes.
So you're married to a
Mr. Ramushu, a petty man.
So are you okay, let me start before we start talking about you privately.
Yeah.
Zoe is an estate agent. We're going to talk about everything that you need to know in the middle of your career, how you started. But I want to say, I don't know if you'll be allowed to say this. A very historic thing happened in
I knew this was going to come up.
Sorry, I was debating whether I should say it, because you're originally from Zimbabwe, but you live in South Africa.
Yes.
What was it like? I heard there were parties.
I mean,
some of the people that I work with had their families call them, and it was just, it seemed to be a lot of excitement.
I mean, it was like you said, in a historical moment. It was dramatic.
Yeah.
As you saw, for 4 days, I think everybody who was a Zimbabwean, wherever they were in the world, was literally like streaming everything. Like, I don't think there's that many people who've watched ZBC. ZBC is our local, like our SABC,
right.
Like our local broadcast. We had so many people streaming live just to watch, you know, what would happen. And it was dramatic. It was a full-on soap opera.
Right.
Old people coming back, like politicians who we thought were out of the game were back, and then speeches that weren't happening. And, you know, everybody, I think there's no family chat that wasn't talking about that. You know what I mean? And emotions were high, tensions were high. And then at the end, I mean, there's just, it's raw emotion. Like, there's so many mixed feelings as well. You know what I mean? Because there's so many wonderful things that the president did for the country, but then there's also the bad. Like, every good thing comes with bad.
Yeah,
you know. And
exactly.
So, but I think what people are most excited about is just the hope for change in the future.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what the focus needs to be on, because Robert Mugabe has basically been in power in Zimbabwe for as long as I've been alive. I'm 37 years old.
Well, I've never known another president in my life. You know, for a long time, I just assumed that, you know, a president
that was normal.
Yeah.
For life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like a king. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's just there until. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, like, that's the exciting thing for me is the change. So I just thought we should touch on
I knew. I knew that there's no one who hasn't in my office. Everybody was like, Zoe.
It's historical.
Exactly.
It's so historical. And I think, like, it comes at a time where people need hope.
Definitely.
And after people had George Bush do two terms in the States, they needed an Obama. And I think whoever's going to come in now is going to...
And I mean, they've got big shoes to fill, because there's a lot of stuff that you know, of course there was the negative, but there was a lot of just the stature of who Robert Mugabe was, even in the AU, on the continent.
Yeah.
Whoever steps in has, you know, big shoes to fill, in the sense that they need to carry that same weight.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Completely. So I thought let's just get that out of the way now, and then and then we'll get into the interview. Zoe.
Yes.
For most of us, when we're sitting at home in school and we're thinking of our careers, most people, you rarely ever hear anybody, if ever, get up in class and say, oh, I want to be an estate agent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So how, you're the first estate agent that I've talked to. I've talked to different groups throughout the show, over the podcast couple of months. And whether it's Better Bonds or it's a home loan. As I say, like last week when we had the EAAB, but you're the first person I'm talking to as an estate agent. So I wanted to know, like, how did you stumble onto this? Did you stumble, first of all?
Yeah.
Okay, let me choose my words. Did you stumble? Why did you choose this career?
Yeah.
What has it been like?
I mean, for me, where I think I've had my first encounter was when I was really young and we were house hunting as a family.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, this is such an awesome job. You know, there's a lady who took us around. It was a bit different because here you don't have one agent who takes you to various properties, but that's what we had. Basically, more the American style, where one agent shows you a couple of properties. And I was like, this is really cool. And I think I was more excited about getting the house, but because the lady who was showing us around was involved with the process, you know, it got me really excited. That put me on the path of property.
Oh.
And so basically I went and I studied. I did a law degree at VIDS. And so I did my BA law and, you know, I wanted to go further and then become a property lawyer. And halfway through the degree, I realized, look, I'm not going to practice. And, you know, I'm beating around the bush. What I'm interested in is the property aspect. So let me just go into it. So that's how I then applied. I sent out my CV. And, you know, I landed in a really great place, a company called Remax Central.
Yes.
And from there, straight out of high school, straight out of my degree, I was pursuing my further studies. But I started doing it because it's amazing because you have flexi hours. So I was still studying when I started my first year. Now I'm full time. So that's how I got to where I am.
So the reason why I chose Zoe, for those of you who've just tuned in, is because Zoe helped me have the house that I live in.
Stunning place. stunning woman.
Oh, thank you very much. By the way, so is she. And you can go to our Facebook page right after this to see the gorgeous
Listen to Loretta.
And what... So that's why I thought it'd be nice to chat to you, because that was probably the first time that I had a pleasant experience with an agent.
Oh, really?
Where I didn't feel rushed, where I didn't feel like, oh my God, this person doesn't understand what I'm looking for. I felt that there was enough of a level of professionalism, but care as well. That succulent that you gave me as a housewarming gift is actually growing.
Oh,
is
it?
In my kitchen.
Oh, wow.
I'm so proud of myself.
Oh, lovely. I'm happy to hear that the succulent is happy and you're happy too.
No, I really am. So you mentioned that you started at Remax Central. And I wanted to basically find out from you, how do you choose as an agent who to go to? I mean, there's so many. Obviously, there's the people that are more incredibly famous who've made money. But how do you choose which place to work for? I mean, is it the type of properties they have?
So that's actually, I can be quite honest with that, because I was very clueless on how to go about it. But I said, look, let me take the plunge. I'll be honest, I sent out my CV
to everyone.
To like a whole bunch. Like I was like, Google. And like all the different agencies, and I looked at the area that I wanted to work in. So definitely the first thing is, it depends what area, because different agencies are stronger in different areas. So I looked at the area, I Googled my area and who the real estate agencies were, and I sent out my CV. And to be honest, Remax Central, my boss, current boss, his name is David, he called me and he was so friendly. And like, I was uptight because, you know, you're applying, you're not even sure what the requirements are.
Yeah.
He was like, no, come in, let's have a chat. And, you know, we just had a conversation, and he was very much more interested in my character and what I want, as opposed to interviewing me as to what requirements they need. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I did have another interview, and it was very like, you know, for a long time I actually prayed about it because I was like, I don't know which one to go with. Yeah. But I picked Remax because I feel like the people are just so friendly. You know what I mean? And that's definitely something that I know now, because I've spoken to other agents, I work with other agents, and happiness in the office is what comes first.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And you need people around you who are supportive, because, you know, with being an estate agent, you essentially run your own business. Mm. And so you need... of course, it is your own business, but you need support systems and support structures. And so you need a estate agency that gives you that support. There's people who've done it for 20 years, people who've done it for 10 years. They know what they're doing. Mm. But if you're coming into it new, you need a company that literally holds your hand through the process. Because even if things seem simple and straightforward, you want someone to break it down to you, because as soon as you're in front of a Lerato Chabalala, you can't be stumbling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to know what you're talking about. You need to be able to tell your clients everything that they need to know.
Yeah.
And nobody knows everything when they start. So you need a place that is nurturing. That's,
And usually when a company is very big, it doesn't matter whether it's an estate agent or it is a corporate.
Mm.
Whenever a company is big, there's no hand-holding. You know, you expect it to just hit the ground running.
And exactly.
For a lot of people, I've always loved starting small, because that's where you are able to make mistakes. And I think it's an important point to make, that you choose a place where at the beginning you have people that you can call on hand and say, I don't know.
Exactly.
Not like you're expected to run with it, so that when you do get to a place where you're either running your own company or you're working for a big company, where you feel secure that you know what you're doing.
Yes.
And how long has it been?
So I've been there, it will be 2 years in Feb.
Officially
two.
Feb.
Yeah,
wow.
2 years in Feb. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, like when I started, I worked with, they offered me options. They said you can just go for it. You know, obviously real estate is for self-starters. You need to have that motivation, because you essentially work by yourself. There's no team really that you're working with. But my boss suggested that I work with another lady. Her name is Amoria. She had a bit more experience.
Okay.
And for 6 months, I basically shadowed and worked with her. And it helped me to have that confidence, because you do a lot of presentations. You get really cranky people, you know, who actually, especially if you're younger, who want to really probe you and see if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's great to first, you know, the first few times you do it with someone who can, you know, pick up the harder questions and all of that.
Exactly.
And yeah, and just gain experience at someone else's expense as opposed to your own. So,
yeah.
But there's a lot of people who just go out there and just do it on their own. And I mean, it works brilliantly for them as well. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think what I like about what you're saying is, you know, it's a buzzword that people use all the time now, which is mentorship.
Mm.
But it's so important to have to watch somebody do their job, so you can figure out, okay, maybe I could do this.
Yes.
And when you're alone, you almost channel them. Like
exactly.
Even today, I still channel certain people depending on what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm like, what would so and so do in this situation?
Exactly.
Okay, this is what they would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's like so important. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living It Up with me, Lerato Chabalala. We're on live every Thursday from 12 until 1 on Cliff Central. However, you can listen to us wherever you're from, whether you are in New York, Lagos, or like Zoe's family who are going to be in Zim. You can download the podcast on cliffcentral.com and check us out, and also download previous podcasts, but more importantly this one with Zoe.
You definitely can,
right
definitely.
As we leave the studio you will be able to listen, and also
great.
Go to our Facebook page. We really want to just hear your thoughts. Now I personally okay, so I'm going to ask you this question backwards. Okay. I personally love Sundays at home.
Yeah.
I love Sundays at home.
Yeah.
I love Sundays at home when it's going to rain.
Mm.
And then you do house viewings on a Sunday. So
I know.
It's before I get to what that is like,
mm.
I want to ask you what a typical day in your life is like. Because as you say, there is no team. You are sort of running. You have autonomy, but it means you have to be incredibly disciplined, or else the whole thing can fall, you know, flat. So what does is there anything like a typical day? Is there a typical day? And if there is a typical day in an estate agent's life, what is that like?
So What is great is that every Monday we have what we call our sales meeting.
Okay.
And I think they're really important because we all meet as agents, and we basically, our boss gives us like something, tells us what's going on in the market, firstly. So for those who don't watch the news or read the papers, you want to know what's going on in the economy. We have some people who come in from the banks to tell us what's going on with that. You know, anything that's important, we're just sort of told in advance in case you didn't pick that up. But also we share our experiences for the week. I think that's where, because you work on your own, you need to talk sometimes.
Oh, I see.
You know, so this week, I almost got the sale, or I, you know, managed to do this many things. Like, you just feedback to each other in general. And, you know, you get a hand clap, you know, if you close a deal, like everybody claps and all of that to give you that motivation because you are on your own.
Yeah.
But from then on, it pretty much is like, we do work in the office, but to be honest, if you're in the office a lot, you're not doing business.
Yes,
you know, because
exactly.
You're supposed to be out there.
Exactly.
But a typical day for me, so on, say, Monday, we start with that sales meeting. I arrive earlier on. I do a lot of my admin. Admin being, there's a lot of paperwork involved, you know, so you have to, I mean, and especially with Poppy coming up, you know, the privacy laws and everything, FICA, you've got to have all the right documentation in place. So you do all your filing, you put your, you send all your emailing through to head office. Probably do the sales meeting. It's about an hour. After that, a lot more. So if you haven't got, if you're starting out, if you haven't got stock, that's when you need to get on the phones. So it's like a sales job, you know. You've got to also pick your times. You need to see what times are comfortable for you to speak to people. So I'm going to call you. Hi, Lerato. Are you looking to, you know, sell your house? Do you need any assistance, you know, with your a rental? Do you have any stock that you, you know? And I mean, it's quite a, it's quite a difficult job to be trying to sell to someone who literally is like, excuse me, who is this? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so it helps, like, you know, to actually have that ability to talk to people. But I think that's a large thing with real estate. You have to be a people person.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if someone's grumpy, by the time they get off the phone with you, they should be like, oh, okay, I don't mind you calling me again. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, I must say to the people that I know I said that Zoe helped me with my, but our first meeting was quite hard, actually. Because not everything happened that was meant to happen.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to the wrong place.
Yeah.
There was no key. And
it
I had a meeting. It was a disaster.
It was.
And so I think it's, when something starts off that badly, I always say to people, for me, that's an indicator that it's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an indicator that it's right.
Okay.
Because it is, when there's a false start, there's a magic there. So people often feel like, oh, it's a false start, it wasn't right. That's when you're like, okay, so what do I need to do? There's something here. And I knew that I was going to live there. Something was like, okay, why is this happening like this?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw one house, and that's the house
I got.
Yeah. So you need to be a people's person, because I was in a hurry.
Yes.
I had meetings, and as you say, you never know what kind of person you're going to meet. So I think it does help to be a people's person.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I first met you, I was like, who is this glamorous lady? Driving up in her two-door, looking stunning, she drops her foot out and she's like in these ridiculous heels. I was like, my goodness, I better make this work for her type thing. So yes, I was, you have to make sure, like, you know, like when I saw you, firstly, like I say, I keep saying you're so stunning and you've got something that just oozes out of you. So you made it easier for me, like, because you were so friendly. I expected you to be uptight, like, oh, I've got stuff to do, but you were so understanding.
Yeah, we saw each other later that day.
Exactly.
We found the key. We came later that
afternoon. Yeah.
I think it's important for people to understand. Usually people see estate agents as people who are, and we'll talk about the commission thing a little bit later, and how people feel like, oh, they're just forcing a sale. But what I loved was the acknowledgement of like, I don't want to waste your time. I don't, you know, when can I speak to you? Which is what you were saying, but you're calling somebody out of nowhere. So there's you do need to be very careful about how it lands and how you communicate with people.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So you were explaining, so you were still going through.
Yeah, so you do that. And then if you do have a lot of stock, like, so you have business already, you'll have a lot of inquiries. So on average, when I list a property, so when I say list, it's when I put it up on the internet. And with Remax, again, you need to pick an estate agency that has a lot of coverage, you know, who's going to give you a lot as well. Because, you know, when we do talk about commissions and all of that, it's you need to find out out as an estate agent, what are you being offered by your company? Because it could be like, okay, this is the split and, you know, that's just it. But what I loved with Remax and what I still love is that there's so many value adds. They don't only advertise on Property 24 and private property. You know, there's newspaper, there's they do a lot of database management. So they have a database who they're continuously speaking to. So when I list a property, literally, especially if it's priced right, if it's stunning, and you know, if it's in the right price range, you know, I can get like 10 inquiries like within the first 2 hours.
Wow,
you know, literally
amazing.
People clicking and calling. And so now what you've got to do is start arranging, because each person's life is different. So as an estate agent, you kind of work around other people's timetables, but that's what gives you flexibility too.
Okay.
So I've got to call and say, hi, I saw you inquired about this house. You know, it's so strange. Every time you call someone, they're like, which house? And you're like, really? Like, you saw the house. But anyway, so people, like, you've got to explain, okay, it's going for 2 million, it's a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom in Morningside, etc., etc., you know. And you explain, it's the one, you know, I always pick something very specific, so it must be in the photo, like, so it's the one with the pool where they've got the, oh, that one, you know. Then they remember, yes, I do want to see that. Now I've got to arrange what times work for you. So a lot of the time as an agent, you might work after hours because the people you're working with finish at 5, you know. So we've got to make viewings from, let's say, I like to do an open hour to make it easier. So I let's say those 10 people know, I say on Wednesday and on Tuesday and Wednesday I'm doing an open hour from 5 till 6, so can you come through on Tuesday or Wednesday? Because that helps me to structure my day as well, as opposed to just picking random times. Of course, there's some people who aren't flexible. Look, I'd like to go see it today at 3. I've got to make a plan, because you've got to actually, you're working for, that's who you're working for. You're working for the seller as well as the buyer, you know. So that's what you do. So I've got to, like, a lot of the time you're responding to your requests and you're taking people for viewings. When you're there, I mean, you've got to sell the place. But, you know, one of the biggest things is honesty with real estate.
Yes.
A lot of agents will just push to make the sale because they want to make the sale, you know. But I will always advise people, rather explain everything. Like, so for example, let's say there's a little crack in the corner on the tile, you know, and you've picked that up and you're like, oh, you probably just put my foot over it so that the person doesn't notice and let's just get the sale done. It's better to reveal that in the very beginning and see if someone wants it still, you know what I mean? And
completely.
Then you know you're working on the same page with that person.
Completely.
You know what I mean? Sell the house, of course, but also be honest with what you're selling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's so crucial. I mean, my previous house had a lot of damp in it.
Oh goodness.
And
damp's the worst.
So costly. And at no point, I mean, they kind of hid the, you know, the issues of the house. And I think it's important that the honesty is so important, because I was just like, good Lord, if somebody had told me what I was getting into, then I would have never done this.
Exactly.
You know? So it's, it's integrity.
Integrity is so important, because at the end of the day, if you want to make everybody happy at the end of it, including yourself, you just have to be honest from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you'd rather expose whatever it is, let's say it's a damp issue, and you let the seller know, you be honest, look, there's your house has damp, so someone who's going to purchase it, it's going to cost them this much to fix it.
Yeah.
So do you want to fix it, or do you want to sell as is?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to sell as is, I don't want to fix that. You tell the buyer, look, he's willing to drop the price by this much because it's going to cost this much. That way, everybody feels like they've gotten what they wanted, as opposed to later on where
everybody's
hands are thrown up.
Exactly.
And everybody looks at you.
You have a bad reputation.
Exactly.
And I think you are only as good as your last sale.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? If you've just started listening and you're thinking, who is that with that buttery voice? That is Remax Central.
You're making me hungry.
I am hungry. Maybe that's the problem. We are talking for the first time. We are a property show that has never talked to an estate agent until today.
Wow, Loretta.
This is the first time we actually had.
Yeah.
It's, you know why? I wanted people to see property as a wider thing. You know, so we've had interior decorators.
Oh, nice.
In about 2 weeks, we're going to have an architect come in here.
Very nice.
It's not a linear way of looking at it, because a house is what you put in it as much as the structure itself. So we've talked to different kinds of of people. And if you want to see what Zoe looks like, she looks amazing, by the way.
Oh, really?
You can go and check out our Facebook page, Living It Up, with me, Lerato Shabalala, and also you can download the podcast on cliffcentral.com. So, Zoe, you are seeing people in the evening. You are working on Saturdays. It's sounding like a very intense job. How do you... When do you get downtime? Because it seems like your work sort of, you know, encroaches on other parts of your life. You know, people go like, it's a Friday, you know, tomorrow's a Friday, so I'm just going to like...
4 o'clock.
Yeah, done.
Or 5 to 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it is, you have to, they warn you about that going in. What I personally do is that I structure my life very carefully. So even when I say, I pick a day that is my down day, because like you said, I don't have a Saturday and I don't have a Sunday. Mm. So for me personally, I choose a Tuesday.
Okay.
And on that day, I'm fully booked for that day. And my fully booked is that I'm sitting at home reading a book, you know,
or I'm watching daytime television.
Exactly. Or I'm going to get my hair done. I'm going to do my nails. Or I actually just want to lie there like a potato.
Vegetating.
Exactly. You know, so you have to do that for yourself. Otherwise, you experience burnout, because literally from Monday to Monday, you are available for your clients. And so, and especially with family time, you have to put that. It's an appointment for me.
Because you're married, right?
Yes.
So your husband and your family has to be very understanding.
Yeah, they definitely have to be, you know. And you also have to put your boundaries. So, for example, as well, because I'm a female, I don't work after 6:30.
Yeah.
So I make sure all my appointments are between 5 and 6. And then by 6:30, I'm generally home.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it's a more secure venue, maybe I'll push an appointment for 7 o'clock. But at that time, I'll definitely have at least 2 people who know where I am.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
I've even had daytime viewings, you know, where you feel a little bit like uncomfortable with who you're showing the place. And, you know, I literally, what I do, sometimes I just call my husband and I just say, oh, just keep, you know, WhatsApp call. So it's not charging that much.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
WhatsApp call in my pocket, but he's just on the line with me.
Yeah.
Or a friend if he's busy, you know what I mean? And I'm like, no, I show the property, everything's fine. I'm like, okay, no, I'm cool, you know?
Jeez, you have to think about your safety as well.
You have to be honest, because even if it's not nighttime, like I've only had one experience like that where I just felt like, you know, the guy was kind of dodgy. Like, you know, you just get that feeling.
Yes.
And you're now going into this apartment, and it was quite a big apartment. It had upstairs rooms. And so I was like, you know, the security guard does know I'm in here.
Yeah, but it's your instinct. It's your instinct telling you.
And
the worst thing people can do is Dr. Phil talks about the benefit of the doubt and how it's a huge problem.
Mm.
Like, I always start with mistrust. Like, if something in my soul says...
Yeah.
Be careful. I don't go, no, but why are you being like this about this
exactly.
person? You know, I'm like, listen to that instinct.
True.
And if nothing happens, nothing happens.
Exactly.
Nobody's harmed.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's things that, you know, I wouldn't have thought about.
Mm.
I wanted to ask you, like I said, we will get to the commission thing, but
yeah.
I just want to ask sort of live questions, because I'm sure people who are thinking of going into your profession have questions about how it actually works. Open houses.
Yes.
Okay, so I did an open house when I was 2 years ago when I sold my place.
Okay.
And I didn't like being there.
Mm,
so I always left as the seller.
Yeah.
So I always left and did things because, you know,
mm.
what is that like sitting there, you know, and having people come in, out, call you? It's not your place, but you have to, you know, how does that work? And some people, like, my place was clean, and I'm sure not everybody
definitely
is like that. What's that experience like of an open house? And how do you choose an open house?
So for open houses, it's basically what we call show days.
Show days.
You know, you're very American. All your terminology. houses.
Sorry.
No, but anyway.
Show day.
Yes, show day in South Africa. But so for show days, what you do is you want to have show days because Sunday is become like a cultural day for going to view houses.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you want that where everyone's just out in general to see houses. So what you do is you book that with your seller. So if you've got someone who's very uptight, you know, you get different people who are like, oh, I don't want people, I don't want to be out every Sunday, this. So you can say maybe every alternative Sunday. Some people don't want show days at all. They say private viewings, you know, book an appointment and then you're in and out. But with a show day, it, like you said, you get all sorts of people. You know, sometimes you find yourself literally being, you know, the cleaning service and, you know, the child minder. Like, you've got to like shove all the toys in a, you know, because people don't see their see how much stuff they have in their houses.
Yeah.
And because it's your house, everything looks perfect, you know, yeah, because it's where it's supposed to be. But now as an estate agent, you've got to show someone how it's going to look for them.
Yes.
So you try to clear it out, you know, sometimes you even try put down personal photos because you want someone to not look at it like this is Lerato's house.
Yeah, exactly.
They must look at it like this is my house. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you've got to do a lot of like, you know, setup, you know, before. And I mean, some people, you know, you've got to wash some dishes here and there. You know what I mean?
You
know, some people literally, you know, it's little things like that, but someone will walk in and just not like the place because there's dirty dishes in the sink.
Yeah, and I so, mean, they did the study that said that if you bake cookies and you leave them outside, people are most likely to buy your house because sort of a confectionery smell makes people feel
homey.
Like homely.
Yes, it's
so
true.
I get what you mean about the dishes.
Yes.
I mean, if it's that... if it's that particular, that it might give you a sense of home, so you buy a house. You
exactly.
know?
Then someone will be like, look, I don't feel like washing dishes, so I'm not buying your house. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, or there's dirty laundry everywhere. Like, you know what I mean? So you do, like, you. It's important because you want people, like, also what's great about show days is you want people to come in and see other people interested in the house.
Mm.
You know, it's human instinct for people to literally be like, oh, so does that guy want to put an offer? And, you know, play.
Yeah.
You kind of have to, you know,
yes, yes,
put that healthy competition element.
Yes.
Where, okay, yeah, that guy wants to put in an offer. So it's great because everyone sees that there's other people interested. No
exactly.
one wants a property that no one else wants.
Exactly.
You know, it's very silly, but it's true.
No.
That's how people are.
I feel that way about men. I feel that way about
exactly.
men. Nobody wants a guy that nobody... Jada Pinkett said it.
It's true.
Like, I want other women to look at him, and you're gonna be like, well, maybe he's coming home with
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
It is. It's a desirability. It's effect.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Have there been things where you've had to say to the homeowner, please can you clean up? Like,
I mean,
can you say that as an agent? Or
definitely. Okay. So basically when you're doing a show house, you send them, you know, and you speak to them because it's a relationship, you know. So you tell them, listen, you explain to them the reason why, you know, don't have dirty dishes. Make sure you pick up your child's toys. Make sure you make your bed, literally,
yeah.
you know, you'll get there and find the bed not made. Like, and so you explain to them why, you know, because if you want people to buy, but it depends, like, on
yeah.
the person. So some people are even so anxious for their house to be perfect. So they, like, overdo it. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah. Rather.
Yeah.
Oh, rather overdo it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's some people who literally are like, listen, you just sell my house. Like,
yeah.
don't give me the stress. I'm paying you. And you're like, you haven't paid me yet, but
exactly.
I get it type thing. So
exactly.
like, yeah, but you've got to put your foot down as well. Because mm-hmm. as an estate agent, a lot of the time you can get walked over if you also don't know your
boundaries.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this time I will do the dishes, but I'll send you an email in writing that, listen, that wasn't acceptable. And I made sure I cleaned it up, but make sure next time we have an open
yeah,
house. Otherwise, we can't work like that.
Exactly.
Do you see what I mean?
Exactly.
So you've got to be flexible, but you also need to know your own boundaries
yeah.
as well, so that you don't become a doormat.
Yeah.
Because that's very easy. You find yourself, I mean, I found myself getting some guy's house painted, you know, sorting out cleaners, like doing a whole bunch of extra stuff, which actually you don't get paid for, right?
Mm.
And like there's certain things you can do to build a relationship, because you're not just there for, oh, I'm just selling your house. You're
yeah.
actually building a relationship with
exactly.
someone. But you also need to know, because now how valuable is my time? How valuable is it for me to do that for that person, or to do a better job for my other client who I'm
exactly.
working with? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you've got to, it's a constant balancing, because you know, people are busy, you know?
Mm.
And so they kind of feel like, oh, if you're selling my house, well, can't you just do this for me? And then it be exactly.
Yeah,
then it
like,
becomes like, oh, and then this. Oh, and then, so you've also got to know when it's like.
Yeah, because human beings are natural takers. True. You take. If
exactly.
somebody's willing to do it, why should I do it?
Exactly.
It's like a natural instinct. I want to ask you two questions in one.
Mm.
I want to ask you, what's the most expensive house you've ever sold? Mm. And can you tell us what it looked like? So let me tell you why this question is important to me. Mm. When I was growing up, and this tells you my vintage, I used to watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach.
Mm.
And I would watch these homes and think, who are these people?
Yep.
My goodness, what is it like to be in this house that is so... Mm. And I've seen some incredible houses as a journalist, great views, and I've been lucky enough to travel and see
this.
But I always wonder what it is like when somebody says, yeah, I want to sell my house, and you come through and it is... You're like, hold the phone. So,
exactly.
You know, so I want to know what that experience is like and being the person to sell it.
Mm. So, I mean, the most expensive house that I've sold, I first had it on as a rental. So that was quite interesting because I was quite shocked. I was like, who rents for like 120,000?
You are kidding
like,
me.
Yeah. So I was like, who does that?
Wait a second.
Literally.
So I've often seen houses on rent and I think, nobody would do that. People rent houses
they
for
do.
100.
They do. They actually do. And you know, it was
I
quite
need
a
to
shock.
Reassess my life.
Exactly. I'm like, I literally couldn't understand. I was like, who's going to? But a lot of expats who basically are here for two years and then they're moving back or they're moving to another place, they're like, there's no point in me purchasing a property, but I have this huge budget.
Yeah.
I'm like, we need to live that life. But, so, but
those
basically,
are lifestyle goals. But
exactly. So, you know, that it started off as a rental and then the gentleman then changed and said he'd like to sell. And so...
Was he in the country or outside the country?
He's in the country and he's just got a lot of houses and a lot of extra... You know, he's got a good life going for him, you know. So, he wasn't that concerned about whether it rented out or he was like, oh, actually, let's just sell it, you know, because there was no one in the place anyway.
Okay.
But it was stunning. It was in Dainfern. It was in an estate. It was, so to describe, when you pull up, it had that six-door garage. And then, so obviously visitors parking's like two deep. So you can have at least 12 cars, you know, parked there. So you're definitely going to be entertaining.
Of course.
You know, a couple of stairs down into your guest entrance. Very high ceiling.
Double volume.
Exactly. Brilliant, like, you know, lighting in that area. Marble floors, you know, huge entrance hall. And then to your right, you know, a guest loo, which is like the size of some people's bedrooms, you know, like maybe not your main bedroom, like your spare bedroom, but it's literally that huge. And, you know, you look at some of these
and that's
places.
That's just the entrance.
That's just the guest.
That's not the ensuite in the main bedroom.
Not at all.
Okay.
And so there's a nice sitting room, you know, with glass going all the way across. The glass stretched and there was basically four different living areas going, you know, across, one of them being an outdoor patio. So from there, you can have like, you can receive your formal guests and take a seat there. And then to the right, if you go back into the entrance hall, to the right, there was what they had. It was a suite. They called it a suite, which was basically... when it was built, it was intended for if you want your guests to live like on that side of the house.
Oh, I see.
So it's
I see.
Like a two-bedroom suite. But it's literally fully equipped with a kitchen. It's got its own lounge. The two bedrooms both on suite. It's got a study attached to it. And I mean,
you're describing an apartment.
Literally, it was an apartment. And so it was for older children, you know, teenage children. I was like, I'll not put my kids there because it's so easy to sneak out from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Or for people who have like older relatives, like so your parents are older and they, you know, you have them live there. So they have their own life and they have their own entrance, which can use the main entrance or they have a separate entrance. Stunning as well on that side. And then this isn't the house yet. We just walked in. So to the right is where that the door to the suite goes. And then you've got your sitting area. You've got your four stretched out living areas. Beautiful. Like just stunning because it's got the pool out front. You know, they
so
all have
those
the
indoor,
view.
Outdoor.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where you slide back.
Exactly. Where you've got those pull back doors and everything. Nice. And they had a brilliant view from there of Stain City.
Yes.
So you can see like there's a lot of greenery in that, and then you can see Stain City in the distance. And I mean, they had an indoor courtyard, like so it was like a nice, like I love, like you know, I like greenery and all of that.
Yes.
So they had like beautiful plants, lush plants there, and it's, you know, open to the roof so this, you know, the rain can, you know, water them naturally. The kitchen, apparently the person who built the property, they basically built a professional kitchen. I mean, I didn't, like, you know, as I was going there, you know, you've got to write down so you can describe the house. You know, I didn't know what half the things were. I was like, what is this for? You know, I just had to be honest because I was like, if I need to tell people what it is, I need to know what it is myself. Like, they just had lots of different appliances and like a six-plate gas stove, you know, these big, big professional ones. Yes. Like, and it was just beautiful as well, you know.
Do you ever have envy when you get into people's houses? Where you,
I just say, this is gonna be me next time. Like, I'm like, very soon this will be me, this will be my house, and I better practice, you know, better practice being used to being in these kind of places. Otherwise, when it shows up, you'll be shocked, you won't know how to handle it. So I'm like, nope, this is good practice.
Exactly.
And when it's me, I'll be ready, you know. I won't even be looking around, like, you know, starry-eyed and that.
Exactly.
So yeah, that, I mean, I can go on and on to describe it, but literally it was just the, let me tell you about the master bedroom though.
Okay.
It had the most ridiculous walk-in cupboards, like, where I was like,
I think my heart just skipped the beat because I love clothes.
Exactly. And you know, the way that, like, it was set up perfectly for you to display your shoes. I was like, you know, you can't have cheap shoes here. You have to have really nice shoes because they're like clearly on display. And just plush carpets, you know, lovely wraparound balcony, like, it was a stunning house.
I often think to myself, like, the day I get there, I'm gonna be like, damn, what's my name?
Exactly. You'll want to have people over every day. Do you know what I say, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, you can't have a house like this, your friends won't visit you. They won't like you anymore.
No, exactly.
They'll be like, what is she trying to do? Bringing me here?
Self-esteem issues. You're tuned into Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. I'm talking to estate agents for Remax Central, Miss Zoe Chiriseri Ramushu, and we're talking for the first time here on the show to an estate agent, and we are a property show. Oh my gosh. You can download this podcast on cliffcentral.com immediately after, and you can listen to us anywhere, anytime. We're live and direct every Thursday from 12 until 1. So I wanted to ask you, Zoe, about how, when we had the EAAB last week, they were talking about how commission is not standard.
No.
That it you can't say 15% is, you know, the cap for everybody. Mm. How do you as estate agents decide on the commission? Is it the size of the property? Are there many sort of mitigating circumstances that lead you to it? You know, just think most people are probably curious about this.
So basically, it's flexible. In South Africa, we usually charge from 7.5% commission down to, I mean, you know, there's now these companies that are offering 3% commission. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's not reliable because, like I said, with real estate, it's what you're going to get out. So what I've seen is that people tend to, when they're selling smaller properties where it's going to be rather like, okay, so location is a big thing.
Of course,
you know what
I
mean? So I know in certain areas, I think it's also maybe a lack of knowing that you can negotiate. I've seen a lot of guys who sell in, say, Yeovil and that, and they get 7.5 commissions. So yeah, I think maybe
in Yeovil.
Yes.
Oh wow.
So I think it's maybe that thing that, okay, look, it's going to be a fast selling property because those are not as expensive. Yep. They're moving fast, so I'm going to get you the sale, etc., etc.
Yep.
And then so they peg it at 7.5. Personally, I what I use is it's called a seller program. So I basically tell you exactly what I'm going to offer you, and I tell you what percentage, because some estate agents are willing to negotiate once the offers come through, which I think is very dangerous ground. You know what I mean?
Because,
and so yeah, because then now it's like, okay, if I get you your asking price, then we'll do 5%. If I get you slightly lower, then I'll do 4.5%. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's just a slippery slope.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You need
murky territory.
You need to decide and discuss the money things up front. So when I approach you and I say, look, I'd like to sell your house, I do my presentation, which has to be thorough. You know, you've got to explain what you're doing, because a lot of the time people are like, no, you just start, you like basically post my property on the internet and then you wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which isn't what actually happens. You know what I mean? There's a lot of work that goes into actually selling the property. You know what I mean? There's a lot of excess stuff that you do and additional stuff that you do for the person. So you have to point that stuff out. You have to help someone visualize what is it that you're paying me this 5% for?
Because
otherwise at the end, someone will be like, oh, what did you really do? You know what I mean? You have to explain.
I've felt like that sometimes.
And that's the thing. So you, for me personally, I tell them, this is what I'm going to do. This is my your expectations of me. This is what you can expect from me.
Yeah.
So if we haven't sold in a month, this is how I'm going to break it down. This is what, you know, I'm going to be doing. I'll do weekly feedback. You know, I'll speak to you constantly to tell you who's come through. I can do reports of how many people have viewed.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I can do reports for you of what people's comments were, because I think that's really important. Mm. Because then someone sees what's happening and they understand what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I discuss, I work with a 5% commission, and I like to stick to that because then I also offer professional photography. So, for example...
Oh, good. Because some of these houses...
Goodness, you're like, was the person like, drunk? Like when they were taking the pictures.
When they were taking these pictures.
Exactly. Or you can see the actual person in the picture. That's the most awkward. Like
exactly.
You're like, because they take a picture and they're in the mirror and they didn't see that.
So you bring a professional camera and you...
So I'm not a professional photographer. We have someone who's professionally trained to do the photography that we pay.
Okay.
So those are the value adds that I'll be showing, that if you sign the sole mandate. So that's another important thing. There's sole mandates and there's open mandates.
Please explain those to us.
So a sole mandate means that I'm the only agent who's going to be selling your house.
Okay.
An open mandate is where it's like I can sell your house, but someone from three other companies, you can speak to three other agents and they're also selling the house, which becomes messy, to be honest. You know, some people want it, they're like, no, I want as many people doing it as possible, but in actual fact it actually puts a lot of pressure on you as a seller, because now everybody wants a show day, everybody's trying to come in at different times, there's sharing of keys, there's just, you know, a lot of in and out. But also,
that's what I was thinking about, the sharing of the keys, the different people in your house. This is South Africa after all, you know what I mean?
You want one person who you speak to, and that one person's responsible.
Exactly.
You know, so with that, particularly for me, I only work on sole mandates, so where it's only me, and then I can afford to do those extra things. I can afford to pay for professional photography because I know that I'm the person who's going to sell it. Let's say I go and I pay for photography, I pay for all these extra things that I do, because every time you list on Property 24, Private Property, all these sites, it's a charge. You're getting charged for that. You know what I mean?
So
it costs money for you to actually list these properties. You know, as I put up boards outside, you know, I'm putting up... That literally cost me something. Every time I drive there...
I guess it's considered advertising.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time I drive there, I'm using my petrol money. Yeah. Every person who sends an inquiry, I'm phoning them probably two or three times to arrange the viewing. That's all what I'm doing, and I'm putting in money. So if I'm going to do it, I need to be guaranteed that I'm the only person selling it.
Exactly.
Because say I do all of that and then somebody else sells it, I got zip at the end of the day.
But you spent.
Exactly.
Yeah, which makes no sense at all for you from
exactly.
a financial perspective. I wanted to touch quickly, you know, it's so quickly, how it's so weird how quickly this hour
it's
ends.
Ridiculous.
You're like,
oh my gosh,
we're not done yet.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about buyers and sellers, but I wanted to talk a little bit about renting. And what is your role once you've given Lerato the keys to the place and I'm inside? When do I call you, and when do I call the landlord? Because I think
a lot of people
who rent are likely to call the estate agent.
Because that's who I met.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's not the person who owns the property.
Mm.
And let's be honest, not everybody reads their contract. So that's why
True.
These shows are important, so that people know when and how estate agents come into a situation. So I thought maybe you could just give us a
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing. So in terms of rentals, what happens is, so a landlord will approach me and say, can you rent out my property? And so when they do that, they have two options. It's what's called placement, which is just finding the person. So I find Lisa to rent your property and then I place her. So when we say placement, what that includes is doing the credit checks. And that's something I need to explain further, but I don't know if we have time afterwards. Yeah. But you do the credit checks, you work through all of that,
yeah,
and make sure
see,
that
you're, you know,
you are
you don't
you
have
say
huge
you are.
Debt, you are who you say you are.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, you find people who move, they make a career of living in a place for 3 months, they don't pay the rent, and then eventually they get evicted, then they move to the next place.
Yeah.
And they just live like that. Yeah, it's incredible.
Bouncing.
Yeah, it's incredible. But people actually do that. So that's why the credit checks are necessary. Once we place, if it's just placement, that's the but when we hand over the keys, we do the checks with you to say what the apartment looks like so that you and the landlord agree between the two of you. And then the landlord keeps your deposit. We pay the deposit to the landlord. And then now that relationship is between the two of you.
Right.
Now, there's some landlords who don't want to manage their property, right? So they're basically like, listen, I'll pay you a percentage every month for you to manage everything. You collect the money.
Oh.
You, exactly. So there's some people who choose that option because, for example, I have some
tenants.
Managed. Yes. Definitely. I have a managed. I have some managed properties because, say, the landlord's in Japan or they're in Cape Town or whatever. So they're like, I physically can't be there, you know, for different reasons. So with that managed one, that's when the relationship then continues between the tenant and the agent.
But you would say that up front.
I would
say,
mention that.
I'm
exactly.
your contact. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So usually when the key handover happens, you just say, okay, if it's just placement, you then introduce, hi, this is... you know, on an email or whatever you call them, this is whoever, so get to know them, etc., etc. This is who you can call, here are their contact details, and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
So you basically start the relationship and then you remove yourself if it's placement. If it's a management, you explain that, okay, if you need anything, you call me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Ah, I see.
Exactly.
So you, as the owner of the property, can also...
then,
decide it.
Exactly.
I don't because I've often sold properties just because I don't want to deal with tenants, but I didn't know that that option was possible.
Available,
excuse me. Now that we have 5 minutes only, oh my god. I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to somebody who wants to get into this career? If there were three things that you would give somebody, if somebody's sitting listening to us and thinking, oh, listen to Zoe, she sounds so amazing, I think I want to do that as well and see these fantastic houses. It's not, as you say, it is a huge thing to take on. So it's not as if it's the lapses of the rich and famous. What are the three things you would tell, sort of the advice you'd give somebody who wants to get into the business?
The first thing I'd say is that this is one of the things that I feel that is difficult for people of color to get into the industry because you need...
a car, right?
A car.
Because you need to drive around.
You need... you need to have a kitty, basically, a 3-month kitty.
Data,
which, exactly.
Airtime.
You need to be able to cover yourself because what happens is when you make a sale, you only get paid 3 months later.
Yes.
So the first 3 months when you start working, you're not expecting anything, but you need to drive around, you need to make those calls, you need to do everything in order to get the sales. So when you go into real estate, don't make a rash decision. You have to plan for it. You know what I mean? You have to plan financially for it. To say, am I able to do this? Am I able to sustain myself for the first 3 months until I receive my first paycheck? So that's the biggest thing. Financial planning ahead of making the move is so important. Otherwise, by month 1.5, you'll be like, this thing doesn't work. You know what I mean? But it's not that it doesn't work. It's that you haven't given it enough time.
Yeah, and you haven't prepped as well.
Exactly. So financial planning beforehand is so important. Realistically, also looking at what you're going to make. Because a lot of people think that, oh my gosh, I'm going to sell these huge houses and I'm going to make millions of dollars. And, you know, I'm actually just going to lounge around like, you know, $1 million listings, you know, and just, you know, show rich and famous people. No, that's, you know, in actual fact, there's some people who can sit and wait for that one big one to sell. But let me tell you, a house that costs $20 million, there's not that many people that can afford it.
Yes.
Those people who can afford it are very picky because they have $20 million.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's that 1%.
Exactly, exactly. And then they can choose out of all the houses that are $20 million or they could build their own.
Exactly.
Your chances of selling a huge, big one are not as high.
Yeah.
So, and you have to wait for it. Do you see what I mean? So there's some people, there's some agents who do that. The whole year, they work on one huge property. But when it pays out, I mean, it pays out good. You know, pays out really good.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, the little ones that you do constantly. And those are the ones that keep you going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And eventually then you start to have like you know, a balance, like, okay, I know I've got my big one that I'm working, but I've got my small ones that are paying out at the same time.
Yeah.
So you've got to be realistic with yourself. Don't be deluded as to what you're going to earn out of it. You have to be realistic.
Exactly.
And finally, I would say you have to be very disciplined and motivated. You have to know that that's what you want to do.
Mm.
You can't have some days where you're like, oh my gosh. But to be honest, in the office, a couple of people are like, oh my gosh, I want to go back to corporate. You know, at least I just get my regular paycheck and, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything I've said is just around finances. I think that's the biggest thing. Those are the three major things. You have to be realistic. You have to plan for it. And you have to want it. Because it's like being an entrepreneur as opposed to aspiring to be a CEO.
Yeah, you motivate yourself.
Exactly.
Which kind of helps me get into my last question is, what growth is there?
Mm.
So let's say you get into the business, it's going to be 2 years for you in February next year. Where, like, what can you do? How do you become, sorry to use this, but a Rally Mampulo or a Prem Golding? Like, what are the growth aspects when you are an estate agent?
So personally, my trajectory is that I want to build a team. Okay. So for example, with me, before I then own my own franchise, which is where you get to be your Pam Golding and that, you can build up a team. So I can have someone who works under me. So I've created my database. I've got my listings where I can take 5 listings now because I'm one person. I can then take 10 and I'm sharing with this person who's under me. So I'm grooming them. We're working together. I'm giving them a cut of what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then you build your team. You basically, as you can work up to about 5 people.
Okay.
And I mean, by that time, a lot of people will then want to move out and start their own thing.
Mm.
But what I will also say is that having a brand name, a household name to your brand personally helps. When I walk in there and I say I'm from Remax, there's a bit of credibility that comes with it.
Yes.
Because I'm sure the EAAB talked about a lot of fly-by-nights.
Yes.
You know, and scamsters and that. And
the fact that you need to, one of the things I didn't know, that you need to renew your certificate
every year
to make sure that you are
exactly
legit.
And that you're compliant with what you're supposed to be doing, because there's a lot of people who do, you know, quick, fast things just to get the sale.
Yeah,
and that's so important. So, I mean, for me, my trajectory is to build a team where I have a database. I mean, I'm building up a database of people I know who I work with, because real estate is all about trust. If someone had a good experience with you, regardless of what they're doing, they'll call you again and say, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, which is what I'm about to do after the show.
Thank you, Lerato. More business for me, thank you. But yeah, so basically, as I build myself up, I want to build up a database of people that basically only work with me, and I can also help people to come in. So for example, I can pay someone a salary for the first 3 months because I know that they're not going to be earning something, but because I've already started running, you know, and I can get someone in, and once they start also picking up their own stock, we work together, then you add a new person. Like, so that's the growth trajectory that you can have.
I think you are headed in the right direction. I mean, I was talking to Riley and to Gareth Cliff about the fact that 10 of the most wealthiest people in the world are in property.
Yes.
So
I didn't miss that fact.
So you are in the right profession in terms of what is still good. Zoe, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Lerato.
Today. It was absolutely stunning. That is estate agent Zoe Chiriseri Ramushu from Remax, and she is the first estate agent we've had here on Living It Up. So it was absolutely fantastic having you on. If people want to get a hold of you, either for mentorship or for you to sell them a property or to rent, as you help me, how do they get in touch with you? Please give details that you're comfortable people calling you on.
Okay, perfect. You can go to the Remax Central website at the bottom, because my name is Zoe. So scroll right to the bottom. My name is Zoe. So my contact details are on there, but I can also
maybe an email address.
Yeah, Zoe, Zoe, at Remax hyphen is that dash?
It's a
dash. Yeah, Central. .co.za. So get in touch with me. In terms of, and one of the things I'll say, even if you're not buying a property now, even if you're not renting now, it's always good to know what's going on beforehand, before you actually make a decision.
Exactly.
So I'm always happy to chat to people, to explain if there's something you don't understand. I'm very happy to do that.
And you're in the greater Joburg area.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So just that email address for you once again, it's Zoe at Remax dash or hyphen, whatever you call it, CENTRAL.co.za. Zede, Zoe, Chirisiri, Ramushu. You can go to our Facebook page to see how this gorgeous woman looks like one last time.
You want to put me in danger
she's
now?
Married. She's very married. I'm just saying. Yes. Some girl love. It's just some girl love.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember, tomorrow is World AIDS Day. Wear your ribbon if you've got it. And just for those of you, you know what they say? They say all of us, if we're not infected, we are affected. And also, it's the first day of December. And we cannot wait.
Yeah.
I will catch you again the next week. Be safe. Love each other. And remember, download this podcast on cliffcentral.com. You will catch me, Lerato Shabla, next week. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye.
Bye, Zoe. Goodbye. Goodbye, Lerato. Bye. Thanks so much.
Cool.
Property. I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling? Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.